of God's holy word. We are on a series about prayer, and as I told our Thursday night Bible study, I hope it's having some effect on your prayer life. It's having an effect on mine, if it isn't on yours. And of course, what we want to do, continually be growing, and I certainly hope that that is happening with you, that your prayer is becoming deeper. First reading, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. I write these things to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Ephesians 3, verse 12. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Father, my prayer is that we as a people will continually build on our prayer life, that each week we will add something new to it. Praying like you. Praying in the name of Jesus and all that that means. And may we have confidence, Lord, that you not only hear us, but that you answer us. We pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I have various stories that are favorites of mine. One of them concerns a town in Kansas some years ago. There was a town in Kansas that prided itself on the fact that they had no liquor stores in that town. Then one day, an enterprising young man came to that town and built a nightclub. That church started praying that God would destroy what they called that den of iniquity. And they prayed mightily that God would do that. Well, a short time after that, there was a storm. Lightning struck that nightclub and burned it to the ground. When the nightclub owner heard that that church had been praying that it would be destroyed, he decided to sue that church. And a suit was brought against that church. The church said they had nothing to do with it. Eventually, the judge threw that court case out, but he said this while he was saying that. He said, it's the opinion of this court that wherever the blame may lie for the fire, the nightclub owner apparently is the one who believes in prayer, while the church members do not. And if you were listening, you could understand why. He was the one who sued it because they were praying, and the church said, no, we had nothing to do with it. Well, if you would, take out this sheet, turn it over to this side, and I would encourage you to take some notes this morning. And these past several weeks, you've had notes to take a look at. I encourage you again, later this week, pull these out, look at these things, get them in your heart. Verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is not natural confidence. John isn't talking about the confidence that we kind of have naturally within us, because we all have some kind of gift that we may have. You may be good at playing the piano. You might have a natural confidence that you can do this. You might be good at sports, and you feel very confident when you do those things. And you might be very good at numbers, and you feel very confident in dealing with numbers. John's not talking about that. He's not talking about natural confidence, because natural confidence is self-reliance. It's self-reliance. self-reliance is, I believe in me. And again, there's nothing wrong with having confidence in the gifts that you have. God gave us those gifts. He gave us certain gifts that we should use. The problem sometimes comes when we rely too much on our strengths and use our strengths in times when we should be relying upon God in things and think that our strengths are going to get us through. And sometimes our strengths can act as weaknesses to us. It's not, I believe in me. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. Jesus said, if you would come after me, you must deny yourself. Those are things that Christians don't talk about too much. I have to deny myself. There are a couple of things that can happen. But self-reliance is not the key. Self-reliance is not the key to the Christian life. It's not the key to the Christian life. Self has only two possible conclusions or outcomes. The self. When we rely too much on the self and expect, when we snap our fingers, God to just, in our time of need, when we don't even approach him at all, to just jump and answer. Self has only two possible conclusions or outcomes. One, it either gets crucified when you're saved. Because when we're saved, again, the ego, the self, should be set aside. We're told that. In fact, that's probably one of the biggest problems that people have today is the ego gets in the way of most relationships. It's the ego that jumps out all the time. So self has only two possible outcomes. It either gets crucified when we're saved, or in still yet all that, maybe we might say something like this. I'm working on that. But we might say that to another Christian in order to sound spiritual. But in reality, are we really working on that, denying the self and putting the self to death so that there's more Jesus that you see instead of more Steve in me? Second outcome, it's sent to hell on Judgment Day. Which one would you rather have? That's not a trick question, by the way. You know, Bob's away this weekend, so I can't say anything about him today. And when we were talking, he said, you're not going to say anything about me this week because I'm not there. I said, oh, that won't stop me. You know, the Apostle Paul never said, I can do all things by myself. He never said that. What he did say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He didn't say, I can do all things on my own. I can do all things by myself. When you receive Jesus as your Savior and as your King, you're staking all of eternity. You're staking all of eternity that what is said about him and what he said about himself is true. You're staking eternity on that. When you pray, you're staking the present life that God not only hears your prayer, but that God answers your prayer. To me, it would seem staking eternity on what Jesus said is more difficult than praying now in our present life. But yet, I think we as Christians find it easier to trust him for eternity than we do, and we trust him when we pray. Prayer moves you from self-reliance to God-reliance. Let me think about that. Trust myself, trust my God, self-reliance, God-reliance. I wonder which one. Which one should I, where should I be? Should I really be trusting myself more, or should I be trusting God more? What's better, self-reliance or God-reliance? Prayer expresses our dependence on God. It expresses how much we need God. And one of the things I've been saying over these past few weeks is, when we don't pray, or if we take Him for granted, what we're saying, whether we say it or not, is I can go through this day without You, Lord. We may not be saying that with our lips, but when we go off to work, when we send our kids off to school, when we are off going on something without even praying to Him, we're saying, I can handle this day without You. And then, during the course of the day, we wonder what happens. We wonder what happens. We can't do it. We are dependent on God. We are utterly dependent. It's essential to your spiritual life. Prayer is essential. If you wish to do anything for the cause of Christ, if you wish to do anything, if you wish to do anything of real value, we must be people of prayer. We must. I told you this story a couple of weeks ago, but I want to just continue a little bit. I had a seminary professor who came from England, Terry Calshaw. Big, round guy. And I just loved his heart and I loved his head, what he had to say. And I went to him and I told him, I love to study. I have no trouble studying. My studying time is like this. But compared to my study time, my prayer time is like this. And he said to me, don't you know, Steve, that when you are studying, you're praying because God is speaking to you. And he put his arm around me and I appreciated what he said. But inside, I knew I had to increase my prayer life. His words were comforting. They were comforting. But I knew inside, I need to increase it. I told you last week, it's him. That's that same guy. I didn't tell you his name. Seminary professor. Said that if he were interviewing candidates for the ministry, one of the questions he would ask them is, what's your prayer life like? Candidates don't get asked that, typically. What's your prayer life like? He impressed me very much with who he was and what he did. C.S. Lewis, if you've never heard of him, he was an atheist who came to Christ. He was a professor at Cambridge, a professor at Oxford. He wrote many, many books. Mere Christianity is one of them. Everybody should read that. Chronicles of Narnia, he wrote them. He married Joy Gresham after she had already been diagnosed with cancer. When she died, a friend came up to Lewis and said, I know how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayer. This is what he said. That's not why I pray. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. I pray because I'm helpless. Does that mean that he couldn't provide for himself? Does that mean that he wasn't intelligent? Does that mean he couldn't make it through the day? No, he realized just how insignificant he was and how much he needed God. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. If we don't realize that we're helpless without more of him, then we're worse off than we even ever thought. We need him. I need him. We need him all the time. What's going on in your life? Offer it up to him. Confidence. The word confidence means assurance. This is the assurance we have in approaching God. This is the assurance we have in approaching him. It means it's like a guarantee. This is the guarantee we have in approaching God. It is a guarantee. Most of you, or many of you, probably all of you, have insurance on your home. If you don't own a home, you live in an apartment. If you live in an apartment, you probably have insurance on all of your furniture and goods in case there's a fire there. All of you probably, or you should have, car insurance, because if someone hits you or you hit someone else, you're covered. Most of you or all of you hopefully have health insurance. Well, God in a sense has insurance, but it's called assurance. God has an assurance program, and he's telling us to have confidence when we come and pray with him. Look at this one more time, C.S. Lewis. What a great man. What a great man. I think Pastor Stephen had a whole course in seminary about C.S. Lewis, didn't you? He could probably have a class himself teaching us about C.S. Lewis and the things. One day he's going to be teaching a class about C.S. Lewis. Look at what he said here. You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Wow. You can't go back and change the beginning. In other words, maybe you haven't been praying. Maybe you get tired. Maybe you get bored. Maybe you just are tired of hearing yourself. But you can start where you are and change the ending and change the way you are. The past is gone. There's nothing you can do about the past. But you can start. You can start and move forward and go on. Okay. I'm going to be offering you now for the rest of this sermon. So how can we pray with confidence? What can we do? What can we do? How can we pray with confidence? One, cultivate a prayer life. In other words, start praying. Start praying. If we are Christians, certainly we must have a heart for God and realize how much we do need him, not just for salvation. It is not fire insurance. It is time also for us to be made and measured so we can be used for him. Pray consistently. In other words, how do you have confidence? By praying and continuing to pray. Assurance is something that must be nurtured. And that means we have to nurture it. We start out with it and we feed it a little bit. We give it more and give it more all the time. I have been thinking, not that I haven't, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. As a result of these sermons and my studies, I am praying even more. I'm looking at God more deeply. Not that I never did, because I always did. But I realize. Do you know I pray for you every week, all of you. You know that. I've told you that. So does Pastor Stephen. Every week I pray for you. If I have your name, I pray for you every week. Something for you that I know of every single week, always. Oswald Chambers, great man of God, who wrote My Utmost for His Highest, which I know a number of you have read. He said this: the faith of many people begins to falter when apprehensions enter their thinking, and they forget the meaning of God's assurance. They forget to take a deep spiritual breath. The only way to remove the fear from our lives is to listen to God's assurance to us. When it seems that there is nothing and no one to help, say to yourself, the Lord is my helper. Say it with meaning and truth. Take hold of the Father's assurance and then say with strong courage, I will not fear because I trust you. Wise words, simple words, but wise, deep. What else can you do? Use Bible verses as a springboard for your prayers. Let me tell you what happens. This is what happens. We are so busy that, first of all, we feel guilty. And so, I got to read scripture real quick. I got to pray real quick. I got to get this done because I got to get my kids ready for school. And all that stuff. And we get so busy and so rushed, I give him a little bit. Now, just imagine if God answered our prayer with the same measure we give him. I give you a little bit, Lord. He said, okay, you give me a little bit, let me give you a little bit. Wow. Aren't you glad it's grace? It's grace. Use Bible verses as a springboard. Like what? Oh, there are so many. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How can I help you? Lord, I come to you today, Lord, and I know how gracious you are and how loving you are. I need more of your mercy and grace, because your grace is a power. Help me, Father. This is a springboard. Jeremiah 33. Call to me, God says, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Lord, I know I'm only scratching the surface with you, Lord. And I need to be taught by you. Grab hold of me, Father, and draw me closer. When I read these verses, they cause me to think of these things. Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Lord, I need you to hear me today, because I am in real trouble. This is what's going on in my life. Relieve me from my distress. Do you hear me, Lord? Hear me, please. It's a springboard. Psalm 5, verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 18, 2, one of my favorites. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. My Lord is my rock. In my distress, I call to him. He hears my voice from his holy temple. He reaches down from on high and takes hold of me and places me on solid rock. That one I have memorized because it speaks to my heart. Use a prayer journal. What's a prayer journal? It could be a tablet. It could be a special journal itself where you write down prayers so that you keep a record of these. I have on my computer, I call it prayer journal, and I open up that little app and I have my prayers on there that I pray every morning. One of the prayers that I pray for myself when I come to me is that, Lord, please help me to get rid of the clutter in my mind so that you can get through. Help me, Lord, to remove the detours in my life to give you more of them. We have clutter. We have detours. Stacy has a wall. That's her prayer journal. She has a wall with all kinds of prayers on it, with lines and everything else and threads going here and going there. Pray in the name of Jesus. We talked last week about this. We said so many things about this last week. When you're praying in Jesus' name, it is speaking of relationship. If you have a husband or wife, a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you never talk to them the entire week, there's not going to be any relationship. We have standing in him if we have a relationship. We're standing, we have power because we're standing in him. There's the ascension privilege, if you remember that from last week. The ascension privilege. Then there's being a friend of the king, where the emperors had a group of special friends that were called friends of the king, that they could approach him anytime they wanted, and he would admit them and grant them what they want. Well, we're friends of the king. We're friends of the king. And at least I know I'm a friend of the king. Don't know about Bob. Lou, are you a friend of the king? Pray with a surrendered heart. Pray with a surrendered heart. James 4. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Pray with a surrendered heart. What's a surrendered heart? A surrendered heart is, again, realizing I'm not as great as I think I am. In fact, as you get older and the older you get, the more you realize you don't have to act tough. You don't have to act like you know everything. You don't have to act cool. You don't have all those things that were so important as you're growing up. They're not important. The only thing I need to know is I'm connected. I'm connected. Prayer is hard work. Prayer is hard work. You've discovered that, right? Prayer is hard work. That's probably one of the reasons why we as Christians do not pray. Thomas Shepherd said this, "There are times when I would rather die than pray. There are times when I would rather die than pray." D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of the great men from another era, wrote many, many commentaries. He said this, "Everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer." It's true. It's true. Prayer is hard work, which is probably another reason why we do not pray the way we should, because this is, right, this is what happens, right? You begin to pray, and right away your mind begins to wander. You go, well, hey, this is pointless. I might as well stop this, because what do I think I'm doing? So maybe you start again another time. You start to pray, and you hear the same old thing. Oh, well, who am I kidding? I can't do this. That's exactly what Satan wants to have happen. He wants you to stop. Prayer's hard work. I can tell you, that happens to me too. I start to pray, and my mind begins to wander. I go, no, it's not going to happen. Some days I have better prayer days than others. I admit that. Some days are better prayer days than others. And I look to Him, and I am thinking how I must give Him my time. Stop praying. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to stop praying. The devil knows how powerful prayer is. He does not want you to pray. Hope McDonald, one of the friends of C.S. Lewis and many others, said, "Have you ever stopped to wonder what the devil's favorite word might be? His favorite word is tomorrow. That must be one of his main jobs, to keep all Christians off their knees. Oh, I'll pray tomorrow when I have a little bit more time." Next, pray according to God's will. Pray according to God's will. Praying, when you pray according to His will, you're joining hands with God. Every time you pray according to His will, it's like taking the hand of God and praying. Every time you do that. If you have this sheet, turn it over if you're taking notes. Look at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. There it is. Here's the tough part. And if we know that He hears us, the tough part is according to His will. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Many people say, this is where I fail. We say, praying according to God's will. What is that? Not only that, we think God has a little pad here and says, okay, you didn't do that. No answering your prayer now. Okay, Lou, you didn't do that. Don't have to answer your prayer. Who? Rob, you didn't do that. And we kind of think that God acts as a foreman on a job or as a boss and can't wait to check off and give reason not to answer the prayer. What is God's will? Well, I want to give you some ideas on what it is. Facts. And show you how you can be praying in God's will. First of all, it is God's will that you're saved. It's God's will that you are saved. Matthew 18, verse 14 says, "It is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." So part of your prayer life should be, "Lord, all around me are people who are unsaved. Help me to be part of your rescue mission, Lord. I pray for whatever, whether it's your parents, it's your children, it's your neighbors. Help me, Lord, to be a part of that, that people around me might be saved." That's praying according to his will. Two, it is God's will that you be holy. And of course, when holiness referring to us doesn't mean be perfect, because we can't be perfect. 1 Thessalonians verse chapter 4, verse 3 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified," which means holy. That means we should be set apart. There should be something different about us. It should not be so that our tempers flare up like this, they flare up like that. It's easy for us to get upset. That people should see something different about us. They should. Third, it is God's will that you do good. 1 Peter 2, verse 15, "For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant walk of foolish men." Help me, Lord. I pray for this all the time. Help me, Lord, for people to see you in me. Let people see you in me. I have no idea what happened. Several years ago, I was not doing this too much now, having a piece of pizza at the mall at lunchtime. Having a piece of pizza, which I love pizza. And this woman walks by. She must have been in her mid-50s. I'm just eating pizza. I don't know who this is. She stops in front of the table and she said, "Are you a pastor?" And inside I go, "Yeah." I said, "Why would you say that?" "I'm just eating pizza. I'm just eating pizza." And I thought, "What's going on here, Lord?" So I said, "Can I buy you a piece of pizza? Do you need a piece of pizza?" And she said, "Yes." So I bought her a piece of pizza. What are those things? You know what they are, what they are. Stunning. Four, it is God's will for you to be joyful, pray, and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." It's hard to be joyful constantly. It's hard to be rejoicing. But even with that, we can be praying, "Lord, help me to find my joy in you." That's how you could pray. "Help me to find my joy in you, because people will always disappoint. And I was disappointed recently, Lord." Not that I was. I'm just saying you can pray along those lines. Five, it is God's will that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads you to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That's one of my prayers every morning too for myself. "Lord, help me today to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not to go off on my own." Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, regardless of what some people say. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. The question always is, does the Holy Spirit have you? That's the issue. Six, God wants you to live His will. Romans 12. This is a major one. They're all major. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." And as this world continues to spiral downhill, unfortunately, many Christians are spiraling down along with it and forgetting just what it means to be a Christ one. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." In other words, this is to be a constant thing. It's not a once getting saved, that our minds constantly need to be being renewed in Him. "Then you will be," look at this, "then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." How will we know? by not conforming to the pattern of this world, but renewing our mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's how we will know what God's will is. John Stott, one of the great ones again, one of the great theologians who's now in glory, he said, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or for bending His will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to His. It is by prayer that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. Every true prayer is a variation on the theme, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now there's a story of a little boy, I understand it's true, young boy who thought he needed $100 and won $100. So he wrote a letter to God. He wrote a letter to God asking God and saying, I need $100. And the post office, when they got it, because it was sent to God on there, they sent it to the president. I don't know which president. Wasn't stated. Sent to the president. The president said to his secretary, put $5 in it and send it back to that little boy. When the little boy opened up the envelope, he saw it was only $5, so he wrote this back to who we thought was God. Dear God, thank you very much for sending the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you sent it through Washington, D.C., and you know those guys deducted $95 in taxes. Do you know where the largest church in the world is? I can't say. Someone knows this, Bob will give you 50 cents or a dollar. Do you know where the largest church in the world is? South Korea. 700,000 members. Yonggi-jo's church. Yonggi-jo. 700,000 people. Do you know where the largest Baptist church in the world is? South Korea. Do you know where the largest Methodist church in the world is? South Korea. Do you know where the largest Presbyterian church in the world is? Take a guess. South Korea. Let me tell you why that's the case. All the leaders of those churches attribute their growth to prayer. Every one of those churches have times of great prayer. Let me give you, for instance, the Kwang Lim Methodist Church averages 3,000 to 4,000 prayer every morning. The Myung Song Presbyterian Church averages, listen to this, 12,000 at 4 o'clock a.m. in the morning. 12,000 at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4,000 at 6 o'clock in the morning. Every Friday, all of the churches have all-night prayer meetings. They gather at 10 p.m. and pray all night. I believe that we can do mighty things for the cause of Christ. The issue is, will we? And it all begins with prayer. All of it begins with prayer. Do you realize how powerful that you can be when we pray? We are better than a human dynamo. We are a human dynamo when Christians pray. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this week to be praying more. To set aside those times. You know, don't say this to me. You know, I like to pray when I'm driving. All that is, those are arrow prayers. Arrow prayers are those times when we can't give God our concentration, where we're just shooting, remember so-and-so, Lord. Remember so-and-so. Just little arrow prayers. That's fine. But we need a set time where we can give God our attention. I want to give you attention. If your wife is talking to you, to you men, I hope you, if you're watching TV, I hope you get the remote and you turn it off. And you pay attention. So same thing. When you're talking to someone special, you want to give them all your attention. Praying to God when you're driving, okay, that's fine. But it has to be something more. There's little arrow prayers. Give him your attention at time. The time to do that. We saw last week where Jesus was praying early in the morning. He would go and get away. Anyway, I didn't plan on saying a lot of those things that I said, but I want to encourage you. I don't want you to be going like this to yourself. I want you to say, okay, I know I need to do this. I know I need to improve my prayer life. I know it. Knowing it and doing it, two different things. Now, I've given you 3 weeks worth. We're not done with prayer, but I've given you 3 weeks of a material and ideas and things to use to be praying. Put them into practice. Put them into practice. Amen. Amen. Musicians. Please stand.